I'm very thankful. I ask an interest in your prayers. Something that's placed upon my heart that I want to talk about. And it strikes at our life, the heart of our faith, our service, our worship. And I chose this picture, you know, of course, a picture of the early church and some of the people there, people in the congregation of the body of Christ. And for that group to stay together, you know, it takes very intricate workings of the Lord in the body of Christ. And I'd like to take and to turn to a piece of scripture, if you would. First of all, if you would turn with me over in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 4. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. And this scripture resounded in my heart. And how does that come out? How does that example? How is that shown? How does that work? You know, how does the power of God, especially through His Holy Spirit, how does it work in our life? How does it come out? You know? And I'm thinking, once again, of the body of Christ. And it says that we are members in particular. And I believe that the richness in the scriptures, they show us that we're just not bodies sitting in a pew. But it's much more powerful and intricate. There is a calling to the side of Jesus Christ. There is a spiritual calling. There is a spiritual work in each of His people. And it takes a devotion, it takes faith, it takes love, it takes all those things, and so much more than I'll even be able to scratch the surface of this day, and how we relate to one another. You know, I think that there are congregations of churches out there that can reach up in the thousands for one church service in one building, in one place. And I think of a small congregation, maybe such as ours or such as any other. And to me, it takes a harder devotion, a more intent devotion on relating to one another, because we're going to see one another more often, more in close relationship and conversation, in relationship to one another than we would. And those that we, let's just say, person that talks about being a large congregation, they may not see the same person twice for maybe a year. But how much care, or how much does it take to in a smaller congregation, interrelating in throughout the week? Many of us talk to each other throughout the week. And so how much care, how much intricate and delicate balance in the body of Christ? And the earthen vessel of the Lord that's to have the treasure of Christ the gifts is talked about in the body of Christ that are exemplified or brought out more in one than the other, and we treasure them. And they're noticed. And the word of the Lord that is spoken and should be spoken, we should expect they can be spoken. How about prophecy? Of warning and direction, which we expect to hear, to notice, to prepare, to direct as the body of Christ. But who are we in the body of Christ is a question. Who are we in the body of Christ? The scriptures tell of a peculiar people, not weird, peculiar. Yet different, set apart in design, spiritual design. Scriptures do not talk about just a weird people, but they're different and they're set apart. And there are very powerful and spiritual reasons that they are different because of a high calling in Christ Jesus. Those that have a desire. And their desire is to remain in this spiritual condition in a world today that opposes godly character. Now, we could drop message right now, and we could talk about that very subject, about where today's world is fighting against godly character. And that's a whole maybe study to itself. But our desire to remain in this spiritual condition. Is that a true statement? Yes, it is. We all desire to stay in the spiritual condition, and we would that we could maintain as we are right now throughout all of our days and hours. But we know that we need to go out and relate out in the world. We know that we need to relate to our workplaces, you know. Where we may go in order to do things to either sustain or do business or whatever the matter. And we find that it's a hard mix to be able to remain in that spiritual condition, don't we? We know the things that we talk about here, we know the things that you can talk about one another with that others just cannot understand and can't fathom because you decide so much differently. Because of the knowledge that you have, because the saving message of Jesus Christ, because of the Holy Spirit that moves and lives and breathes within you, because you are born again. Who are we in the body of Christ? I'd like to turn, and as we will look into some of the attributes of those people that are in the body of Christ. And what does make them different? What does make them peculiar? Let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians 12 and 25. Please turn with me. 'Schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. I believe schism talks about a spiritual division. And so I know there's much more to the explanation, but I'd like to go on. But basically, division in the body. But the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And it talks about how necessary each person is in the body of Christ. Not one more important than the other. God has breathed into each one of us the breath of life. And each one of us will need to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Whether we will stand and be embraced with eternal salvation with Him or not. You know, we were talking about those upon the prayer list this morning, weren't we? And there are those that have some real problems. There are those that have some real physical issues. And I see real concern, real heartfelt concern upon the faces of those that I'm looking upon as we mention those people. And what's happening in their lives, that they're suffering for one reason or another, whether it be of a sadness, whether it be a physical affliction, whether it is a grief and sorrow because of a person that has passed on in a family or whatever the matter, that we care. You know, and once again, we may live in a world that doesn't see it that way. People say, oh, well, to many of those things. But a genuine, loving concern for each of these people that we were talking about this morning. Because you care. Because of a love. Well, we have the same care. And if there's a member that suffers, all the members suffer with it. We would that we could take maybe even a piece to be able to help take the burden off of them. We know that's not possible. We do the most powerful thing, and that is lift them up to our Father in heaven for His holy blessing upon them. The most powerful thing, because of love, because of care. And that's something, once again, the world just does not understand, and it opposes godly character. But there's a different way that things are cared for, apart from what the world shows. And that's what makes the body of Christ, those in particular, different, set apart, and peculiar. Please turn with me over to the book of Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, and there's different ways that we were talking about where, yes, we lift them up in prayer. But we all have seen evidence in the body of Christ where we have actually reached out to help bear a burden. And so many different ways that has transpired. But I'm sure that each of you would have a testimony of how you've seen or participated in helping to bear someone's burden. Either to listen even, or a hug of reassurance, or a shoulder to cry on, or if they have a burden in their family, to help even with talking, or to a physical help with them. Some way, shape, or form. I'm sure that you have a testimony of how you've helped to bear one another's burdens. And I hope by each of these scriptures that we kind of notice that type of character that Christ shapes us in, which is His own image. Please turn with me to Romans in the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. And I'd like to read verses 12 through 14. Romans 6, 12 through 14. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, but that you should obey it in the lusts. They should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye, or give yourself over, if you will, your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Don't yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead. And as you have a knowledge of what sin is, what righteousness is, you have a knowledge and you have spiritual conviction through Jesus Christ that you should live righteously. You have spiritual conviction of such, that those outside the body of Christ don't have. So you're able to decide and to make decisions in a world that, once again, they're just whatever comes, whatever goes, whatever makes one happy in the flesh, whatever comes down the pike. And there are mists of indecision because of the way things are becoming packaged today, even as well. Scripture says there is no new thing under the sun, but we find the same sins come around packaged a little bit differently, and there are these mists of indecision. And we take a look at Lehi's vision, where there were concourses of people that were going on, these mists of darkness, and they were wandered off and they were lost. And if you don't have the light of Christ, if you don't have the knowledge of His, and the power of His gospel to decide these things, and of His Holy Spirit to guide and lead and direct, to get lost in the mists of darkness. But we want, if we yield, and that's one thing that, once again, that the world doesn't understand, about yielding to a power they can't see. We were talking this morning about the power of God just in the events surrounding the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. The many things that transpired then that they wanted to describe scientifically or whatever. Many times I have to believe that they do those things so that people don't have to exhibit faith, to submit to a God they can't see, and to a power that they don't need to obey. But no matter what, and no matter whether it was natural certain occurrences, God did make all those things, and what we see and what we observe, and the formation of all things in which we need for the sustainment of man. And miracles. He's the maker of miracles. And we submit to that power. And as we submit to that power, He also manifests the proof along the way because of faith. And you yourselves have testimonies of what He has done in your life and has brought you to this day and to that your place in the body of Christ. There are very real and concrete reasons that each of you have solidified in your mind and your heart and in your life, the reason why you are here today, living by faith. Please turn with me over into Titus in the second chapter. A little book of Titus right after 2 Timothy. And let's look at chapter 2, and I'd like to read verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And these things speak, and exhort, and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. And the grace that brought salvation through Jesus Christ, He's appeared. And because of His precious gospel, because of the that message of salvation that we're living through hope and faith and obedience, and it has taught us that denying ungodliness And there is such a design to his gospel that the recipe for these things, living righteously and soberly and godly, bring blessings and happy and a happier life even. It's even shown living as a Christian in its design of purity. In a natural sense, they say many people live longer. Especially because if you live ungodly in this world, you could meet a shorter demise because of natural occurrences with those that don't care whether we live or die. And that is true. You take a look in the news, and there are those that would kill somebody else for a $20 bill. And that's the truth. There are many reasons why God designed righteousness to work, especially because he designed it. It is his commandment. It is his law. It also is shown because of that pattern that it brings natural blessing and order to a person's life. And most importantly, it pleases God, and he blesses us with his loving spirit and power. Second or 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain." It's a different sort of race that we're in today. And is one of endurance. That we may run well, and we run with one another. And not that one of us would want to beat out another to the kingdom of God and leave the other behind. Totally different sort of race, isn't it? And there's the scripture that I have here too, about Hebrews 12:1. You can see that a little bit better, because I know the caption is not very well on that little one. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Patience in a race, not what the race would tell us today. The races of today, it's that one will win. And if one is hurt along the way, one does not stop to pick them up. But the race that we're told about, that endure to the end. And if one of us was to fall along the way, that we would do that. We would stop. We would help. We would take a look to their needs. And yet and those in the body of Christ, even that too would, those that are not in the body of Christ, you would stop, you would help. Look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. He stopped, he bound up the man's wounds that had been caught among thieves and beaten. He put him on his own donkey, he took him to an inn, and he paid to have him there. He said, "I'm going to come back by here. Whatever else that person needs, says, I'll pay you when I come." So it's the type of person that you are, that you would even take care of others, whether you knew them or not. And that makes you different. The sin that so easily beset us, we look at where the chains of bondage are. This person is being released from handcuffs. The bondage of sin. There are habits that people have in their life that's stronger than those cuffs are. Addictions that people can't get away from. And they ruin people's lives. They ruin people's families. Please turn with me over into the book of Galatians in the 6th chapter, in the first verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If there are those that have fallen aside, those that are overtaken in a fault, those that, as Jesus would have went out for the one in the of his sheep that were lost, there are those that have fallen, he said, and they wish to come back. They wish to, and to help to acquaint them too, that we would reach out to help them. To help restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That we would help others. There are those that are in our congregation that we know should be here. We know this, don't we? There are those, we pray for them. We talk about how can we, each of us, reach out and help this person that they should be in the body of Christ. Maybe there's a burden, there's an affliction, there's a situation in their life that needs help. We would like to help to restore them. We ask God for those times that we could be there to help to restore one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted to bear, you know, that we could need to bear their burden. And we may need them. It may be us that needs them, and they to help to restore us at a time. Please turn with me to the book of Titus 2, 1 through 8. Book of Titus, in the second chapter, I'd like to read verses 1 through 8. That's not Timothy, it's Titus. And you know, once again, a difference in this group of people. Once again, if a person is taken in a fault, you know, and the world teaches us to just abandon them, go away, don't worry about it, it's their problem, don't stop to even bother. They've upset me. I'm not going to have anything to do with them again. Whatever the case. But that's just not with the body, how it operates. Because of the same care, one for another. And we're looking at each of these attributes of these people that are in the body of Christ. And what is it like? You know, and also we think of those that have a spiritual wisdom that should be guiding, to pass on a legacy of strength, of example, of wisdom, of faith. And in the second chapter it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, not having no evil thing to say of you. Those types of as examples, reasons why we would want to be persons of character. We have pillars in our congregation that we need to look to learn. It is a charge to those that are more seasoned among us. And I think that's a praise, if you will. Those that are more elderly among us are more seasoned, because it is a very powerful word, that being seasoned, that they have learned. And we can look to their faith, and that is example to us, and of strength. And that they may also pass on those things to the next generation. The other generation will know of those virtues that we may see, as it talks about in 2 Peter, the first chapter. That they have learned virtue that God has helped them to develop. And that comes by trial and experience through trial, learning through trial, yielding the peaceable fruits of righteousness as they were exercised, it says. What becometh holiness? So it's quite the charge, isn't it? James 3 and 13. James 3 and 13. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When we read something like that about these type of people, do we see those sorts of things out in the world that is being promoted today? Not very much, do we? Not very much. Showing out of conversation and works with meekness of wisdom. We see more of the bitter envying and strife out there. And the glory. When I look upon the news pages, you know, I bring up my... I probably look at more news on my computer than I do on the TV screen. The TV's off most of the time these days, especially. And it seems like that it's more about the glory of those that are in the public eye. Look what they had done. Look how they look. Look at their accomplishment on the screen, or whatever. Posing for the camera. All that sorts of things. But not how it is in the body of Christ. The world teaches a much different thing. Also, we find this care one for the other. Please turn with me over in the first chapter of the book of Jude. All right, am I going to hear it? There is only one chapter in the book of Jude. Okay. They usually get corrected on that a lot faster. I just throw it out there every time. Verses 20 through 23. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some having compassion, making a difference, having compassion on other people. The loving attribute of compassion, thinking of other people before ourselves. Thinking of the needs of others, having compassion for them, and making a difference where we can. But, and others, once again, others that maybe have fallen, and they need to have help to restore others. Save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment unspotted by the flesh. There are those that we need to throw the lifeline in, and we need to pull as hard as we can. We cannot go back the other way. Let them pull us back where they are at. But being spiritual, being compassionate, pull them out of the fire. Even the garment spotted by the flesh. Those the sins that possibly they have committed. Helping them on to repentance. Giving good and sound counsel, as it says, sober and as the it talked about in the other scripture. Save with fear, godly fear. Of course, they are maybe involved in man's fears. Forgiveness. Turn with me over to Colossians in the third chapter, please. Colossians in the third chapter. But we are forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even so Christ forgave you, so do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, in other words, in Jesus Christ. But let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's what guides, leads, directs, and is the pulling mechanism in our life. That's the engine that's pulling that train down the track, is Jesus Christ. That power, that word of Christ. If you know, you look at the there is the rebellious nature of mankind, and to get that rebellious nature of mankind to change his mind to do things opposite to his nature takes quite a bit, doesn't it? When people decide to do something, they're not going to do otherwise. And so to make that person decide to do otherwise, to change the heart, the direction of mankind, to do a 180 about turn, to change a life and its direction, takes a divine power that is beyond our comprehension. It changes the heart of man. The world teaches even getting even, once again, and holding a grudge. 3 Nephi 5:107. 3 Nephi 5:107. Page 639 in your Book of Mormon. I want to turn to the Book of Mormon, even though we know that it is in the Bible. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The world tells us to hold on to those things. You know, hold on to the passion. Why would you want to forgive somebody else? Why would you want to let that go and hold that grudge? But within our worship, it teaches us. There's two things to that. Number one, we're commanded to forgive. And we need to hold that forgiveness in our heart. Many times, even if they haven't asked for our forgiveness, but we are aware that there is that difference. We do know that it takes an energy to hold on to a grudge. It takes an energy, and it is an impedance to our worship. To our prayers. It hinders our prayers if we're holding on to an impenitent and non-forgiving heart. Restricts the fluidity of the spirit It's just like a shutoff valve in the line of a pipe. God does not want us to hold on to it, and it can lead to even bitterness. We have to be careful. We have to be able to forgive people. We have the right to hold on to these things. We need to encourage one another. Romans in the 14th chapter. Let us therefore follow after the things which make peace, and things whereof one may edify another. That which will lead to a edification in the Spirit, the word of witness to one another. Once again, that is that example to one another. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things worth one may edify. And we find that with the angry spirit that is within man, that's not the case. They don't want to speak peace. People want war. And we see too much of that within the mind of man. 2 Corinthians 10 and 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And there are also things that that we can be brought under bondage to. That there are certain elements that don't help us with impurity. There are certain things that can bring us to addiction. Things that can hurt us even physically, spiritually. Can impede our worship. Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. More of a reason, too, to watch the things that we say and how that we say them. There are certain things that people consider that even are swear words or blasphemies. People say, well, people know what I mean. They know what's in my heart. Now, wait a minute. How do they know what's in your heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Corrupt communication. And how about your testimony? If it has slander within it, if it has what the world even calls swear words, how do they take it to mean, or how is it meant? And the spirit that is also given. Is it to teaching one another about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it to testifying of the love of Christ? Did what you say edify them in love, drawing them to the side of Jesus Christ and to His precious salvation? Did it do that? Is that the decision that you made? Is that the message that come out of our mouth? Do not let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Even talks to gossip. We have to be careful about gossip. Passing on information that is not right, not true. Hurts someone else. First Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You know, we do that in the body of Christ. We comfort one another. We strengthen one another. Encourage one another. People may have real problems and real issues, and they need that strong shoulder. They need that word of encouragement. They need that word of faith. Need that word of testimony. Need that example that you set. We need to comfort yourselves together, each of us. Comfort one another. Encourage. The day of Christ is at hand. The day of our salvation is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming. It's not like what the world tries to discourage people because of the way that, that time is passing and the type of things to cloud people's judgment and the entertainment that is out there for people and the doubt and the mocking finger of those in this great and spacious building. Of those pointing the mocking finger at those that are wanting to adhere to righteousness' sake. And laughing at the Christian today. And the Christian is not being upheld. He is not being supported. In Christianity, I cringe when leaders of our country say that this is not a Christian nation anymore. That should make any Christian cringe. 2 Timothy 3:12 through 17. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, being deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is where the Apostle Paul was charging this young pastor in Ephesus by the name of Timothy. But he was warning him, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I'm sure you have all, each of us, a testimony of something where you had to take it on the chin, if you will, or had because you wanted to do right, that something was either said or something was done to cause a discouragement unto you, trying to think that you weren't doing the right thing even. But he's warning us that these things can happen. Second Timothy 2 and 7. I think I have the wrong reference right there. 2 Timothy 2 and 7. But I'm going to quote the scripture nonetheless. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. That we know that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through his scripture, through the power of his word, that he doesn't give us the spirit of fear. And we know that talks about in the book of 1 John, he says that perfect love casts out all fear. And of a sound mind. The sound mind that we may be able to decide through the gospel, through the Holy Spirit, what is for righteousness' sake and how we should live and decide and to move and direct in our lives. Of a sound mind that we be able to stand for what is right. And we're in a difficult situation and we would know what to say and how to say it. Remember Jesus told his disciples, he says, I will give you what hour what to say. I will bring back to your remembrance those things that I have taught you. And I know that is a testimony in my life too. John 15:17. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. He's talking about those things that would be brought against those for righteousness' sake. There is even the spirit of evil out there that does not want the word of Christ spoken. And we're certainly living in a day where they're trying to take the knowledge of God out of our government. And when this was a Christian nation, its foundation. But he commands you that you love one another. And those in the body of Christ have a love one for another. When Jesus prophesied of the time in which we live, he said the love of many should wax cold. And we do know that is the truth. And if we have those that might not like the things that you have to say, even though that they're right, and calling to attention things that are righteous, that are true, that are trying to edify, that are trying to help, that are trying to testify of Jesus Christ, and they may not like that. And Jesus warned us about that as well. Doesn't mean that we're wrong. But our witness of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Prepare yourself within the Holy Spirit, within His Word, with prayer and devotion, to think about, to pray over it. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Take care of the issues in your life. There is a whole lot to be said about that, sanctifying ourselves in the Lord God. Not being involved in the sins that easily beset us or drag us back. Just like we saw the little cartoon of the guy in the race car with all the weight behind him. It damages our testimony. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer. Are you eager to give an answer? Or do we kind of slide off to the side and let it pass? Are we ready to give an answer? Or do we think it would be out of place to give what's right? Are we afraid? Do we have a fear of what they may say against us? But be ready to give an answer to every man that asks, but that those that ask you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Godly fear. Not man's fear, but godly reverence. The admonition of the Lord and His power and His direction in our life. Alma 12:19. Where the Lord is purposing in this young man. He says, ye shall be patient in long suffering and afflictions, and that ye may show forth good examples unto them in me. And I will make an instrument of thee in my hands unto the salvation of many souls. Talk about going up and working among a ferocious people, the Lamanite people. Many people, you know, it kind of reminds me of many that we may go among today. But we're supposed to hold forth that example. In that same truth, patient in long suffering and afflictions, that you may show forth good examples unto them in me, and I will make an instrument of thee in my hands unto the salvation of many souls. And for our last scripture, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. You know, how young was this man? I don't think we know that. We can take a stab at it, but regardless of the matter. But thou be an example of the believers in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. It speaks to a lot of areas of our life, doesn't it? About how purity in our life. About things that we would say. About the things, places that we may go. It may talk about even the associations that we keep. It may talk of the appearance of evil that we may be around. There are many things to take into context about who you are, who you've decided to be, how you've decided to live, who we live for, and what we're living for, which is eternal salvation by faith unto endurance. But what my hope and my prayer is that through the scriptures that were spoken, and many more that I hope that you are challenged to go to and to study within them further, because each of us taking very seriously our necessary and our important and powerful part in the body of Christ. So I thank you for your love and for your prayers and for your worship together today.